Good afternoon. This is Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. The Aspen Youth Center provides after-school and summer programs for area kids. They offer indoor and outdoor play, structured and free time, and cooking and art classes, all for free. Today, my guest is Michaela Eidhammer-Ketpura, the executive director of Aspen Youth Center. Later in the interview, we'll also be joined by fifth grader Claire Williams, who attends the Aspen Youth Center. Michaela, thank you so much for coming in today. I just want to start with kind of the vision for Aspen Youth Center. So what are your goals there?
Oh, wow. A lot of them. I mean, you know, what we do is that we provide a safe and supportive place where kids can connect, learn, and grow during their after-school hours and during their summer hours. We do basically everything for free, except a few field trips where we have a really subsidized, heavily subsidized cost. For example, whitewater rafting. We charge like $35 per kid, which is significantly lower than if you went. And we use we use Blazing Adventures. So we pay them the difference. But, you know, our goal is to serve as many kids as humanly possible. Right now we have over 2,000 youth members, and obviously they don't all come every day. We'd be above capacity, but we see most of them at some point in the year. Some of them only come in the summer because they don't live here year round. Some of them only come during Christmas break. Some of them come every single day. And it's a little bit of a mix. Our biggest thing is to support families and the kids in our community and make sure that they know where their kids are after school, mm-hmm. during the summer when they have to be at work or otherwise can't, you know, be with them for whatever reason. And long term, I mean, our goal is to hit every single kid that we can, that they can come to the youth center, that they know we exist, and that they know that our services are available to them. The tricky part is, of course, that we are located in Aspen. So that's easy for Aspen kids, not necessarily as easy for Basalt, Carbondale, Glenwood, et cetera. During the summer, we tend to see them more because there's time to get to us and leave. So one thing I'd really like to figure out is transportation so mm-hmm. that we could make it an after-school program for further down valley youth. Another big dream, obviously, for the maybe long-term future would be to open another space, potentially in Glenwood, to give, you know, that Glenwood and I-70 corridor like an after-school and summer program, because mm-hmm. as far as I know, it does not exist down there yet. Mm-hmm. Not for free, anyways.
What kid walks in your door after school? Like, what are they going to experience?
So after school, like depending on the day, depending on when they get out of school, they can come in after school until 6 p.m. On some Fridays, we're open extra till like 8:30 for middle school night. So that's fifth through eighth grade. And we do different things. Last week, we had the Aspen Art Museum come and do a really cool glow in the dark thing. And we have pizza. And that only costs $5. And it's an additional 2.5 hours where they can hang out, eat pizza, hang out with their friends, you know, participate in whatever activity we decide to do. We've done a Fear Factor themed one around Halloween, which is our anniversary, our birthday. And then we have done, oh gosh, what was the other one? The art museum one. We've done a all girls 7th and 8th grade sleepover. We also did a Chopped version where the kids got to cook for us. Some of those things were a little interesting, but. and so, you know, it depends. Something I would love to do in the future is to stay open every night, but that's obviously a staffing issue, till at least 8. So we would provide dinner and potentially homework, you know, extra homework help. And it would be kind of after 6, it would be like 6 to 8 calm down period, more mm-hmm. of a family type time. Because a lot of our kids have parents that work late or don't work traditional 9 to 5s. They work in, you know, they work different hours because they work at the hotels or in the restaurants or, you know, in our service industry. And so they don't have that regular schedule. So they can't always be home with the kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just trying to provide that everyday care. And during the school year, we're open 10 to 6. We're open on snow days. Basically, we've never been closed on a snow day since I've been there. I think it would have to snow a heck of a lot for us to be closed on a snow day. We are also open on a lot of different holidays and teacher work days, spring break, Christmas break, those kinds of things, 10 to 6. And then during the summer, we're open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. It's a long day.
It's a long day, and there's so much for free. How does that work?
my job, my job is to fundraise, you know, through private donations, you know, individual donations, grant writing, our events, you know, all that mix of things. And we're really lucky that we have people that care about what we do. We're the only people that do exactly what we do for our age group in the Valley. And at the capacity we have, we're really lucky to own our space in the ARC. So, you know, we have like this, the 6,200 square foot space we have is owned by us in the ARC. And we also have different organizations donate to us based on our different programming. So we've had someone donate all our computers to our computer lab because that was something they cared about. And we've had people donate for, in the summer on Fridays, we cook together and then sit and eat together in the gym. It's community lunch and town hall. And the kids help us cook. And we have different businesses and individuals donate specifically for that. We do creative cooking during the year, teach the kids how to cook. We do art spot, science classes, you know, lots of dodgeball, of course, soccer, agility training, you know, whatever you can think of. If the kids ask for it, we try to make it happen. A popular new thing, which lets them still kind of play video games, but not to go too crazy with it, is Just Dance tournaments, which we're a little more open to because they have to move around and it's pretty fun. Yeah. So, yeah.
So there's tons of learning, but so much of it is hands-on mm-hmm. and fun. Can you talk about like how you plan those programs? Like how much do you think about balancing learning and fun?
Well, you know, the thing about us is that we have structured programming each day, but we also have free play. And there are a lot of studies that show that free play is really important for creative development and, you know, decision making and those kinds of things. And Brittany LeClaire is our programs coordinator, and she really helps us structure the programs and execute them, especially if I can't be there or if I'm doing other things. We're all, we have a 3-person adult staff. We're all involved in the programming, but she really helps plan it. And, you know, part of it is that we want to make sure kids feel that this is a time when they are allowed to make their own decisions, and whether good or bad, they're learning from that. So if they sign up for creative cooking, but they decide to go play outside and miss it, and it's already started when they get in and we, you know, brought someone else in, then that's kind of like the consequence of that action. And it's like, no, you know, we're not mad at you, but you missed coming into cooking. So next time. And trying to teach that responsibility of, like, you say you're going to do something, do it, you know, and just giving you some free will and choice. And it's normally the first chance they have that opportunity to do something on their own without their parents. Mm. And they walk over from the school. In the summer, parents start getting more comfortable with, like, them taking the bus or biking or walking over, depending on where they live. And so it is kind of this, like, expansion of freedom and learning the responsibility of that freedom. So
it sounds like you see like social emotional learning and soft skills is something that's important to develop
yes.
too. Can
yes.
you talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, we teach. So in terms of skills, some of them are, you know, dodgeball is not just dodgeball. It teaches the kids how to, as one youth put it, win with grace and lose with dignity. Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's really well
I was
said.
Like, wow. Okay. okay. Thank you. But yeah, it teaches them sportsmanship. It teaches them how to be nicer to each other, which is really important. We work on that, being nice to each other, that it's so much easier to be kill with kindness than to be mean. We also teach skills like cooking so that they, if their parents do come home late, that they know how to do that and mm-hmm. feel comfortable. And also so they're not going home and just not eating, because that was happening. We have had kids be like, I don't eat. Well, why not? Well, I don't know how to make anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, what? Well, we'll teach you. Like, join the cooking class. We'll teach you. But a lot of it is about, you know, it doesn't take much to, like, you know, it sounds so hokey, but to change the world. But like, if you just start by smiling at people, being nicer to people, asking people how they're doing, and that includes adults doing that with children. Because I think if kids see that skill between adults, but also adults to kids, that we respect them and they'll probably respect us more. And it kind of just builds like very family-like experience. And, you know, these kids, all of them have families, but some of them don't maybe get to see their families as much as they'd like to, or maybe they have divorced parents and so they see one a lot and not the other, or, you know, it's time split. So a lot of kids do say that we're like a second family because they know we're there every day. Mm-hmm. So it's that consistency too.
You are listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Kristen Kay. Today, I'm talking with Michaela Eidhammer-Ketpura, the Executive Director of Aspen Youth Center. We're also joined by fifth grader Claire Williams, who attends the Aspen Youth Center. More after a short break.
I'm wondering how you work with schools or whether you do.
You know, obviously we work mostly with Aspen, the Aspen School District, because we are next to the Aspen School District. And their structure is so different from ours because they do have structured time for everything, for different classes, because it's school. They have a new, they have a new group called the Aspen Family Connections. And we've worked a lot with them to make sure that, you know, what the teachers are seeing and what we're seeing, that it's not so drastically different, you know, that when we have kids who come to us and we know that they have something going on, that I can reach out and say, you know, we have this kid and this seems to be happening. Do you know who I'm talking about? And they, you know, yes, we do know who you're talking about. And then we try to figure out kind of a course of action and help that kid, help that family to work through whatever they're working through so that they feel supported and that no one's falling through the cracks. But we also are working with them to, Aspen Family Connections, that is, to put on, they're putting on the movie Screenagers. And we're going to be also putting on the movie Resilience, which is about trauma-informed care and when trauma happens in youth, how it's dealt with and that kind of thing. So that's, you know, we're working with them on that. And we've really been trying to build our relationship with the school because we see those kids every day. They see those kids every day, but we see them so differently that I think it's really important that we communicate.
Mm-hmm. That makes me think about your kids and who's coming to you. And what do you think would surprise people who think of Aspen in like a stereotypical rich town way about your kids and your families?
So 48% of our kids come from federal poverty level or below. And what that means is that in Pitkin County, the adjusted, there's a study that does this for every county in Colorado. For every county, they have a different number based on cost of living, health insurance, housing, daycare, depending on, you know, those things. And for a family of one parent and one child, I believe it's $63,717 puts you at federal poverty line. For two children, two adults, I believe it's 92 or 93,000 for a family unit. And I know a ton of families that don't make that much money.
Right. That seems astronomical.
It does seem astronomical. And so that's basically 400% federal poverty line. And we have 48% of our kids come from $65,000 or below. And not all those families are one parent and one child. Some of them are two parents and one child. Some of them are two parents and four children. And 10% of those, or is it 12? 12% of those come from families that make $25,000 or less. And they need what we do. Their parents have to work. They both have to work. They don't have that. They don't have the choice. And they need the support. And so I think that's something that, you know, for example, when we apply to Front Range or national grants, saying not everybody here has, you know, a ton of money. I know that's a common misconception, but it's a wide variety of people. And also, just because a family has a ton of money doesn't mean that they don't need the support too in whatever way. Maybe a parent travels a lot, or maybe there's only one parent in the picture, so they still need that support system, other adults in their lives to, you know, fill those gaps. So, you know, money doesn't fix everything, and background doesn't necessarily determine what you're going to be in mm-hmm. life. So I think it's covering all those kids, but I think that would be, people find that very surprising when they're like, wait, what? You have how many kids that are technically at that level? And I'm like, yeah, you'd be surprised. We have kids that come to us and say they haven't, you know, really had proper food, or they really need help doing, purchasing this, or because their families can't do it. And, you know, we have a lot of people that need that help, and we're hopefully there for them. And I hope they know we're there for them. So
speaking about filling the gaps, I'm a working mom and you're a working mom, and we know that it is tough out there as far as childcare. So I'm wondering if you can speak to that need that you see in the Valley.
I mean, if we could, someone once asked us, you know, if you had all the money in the world, money was no object, what would you do with the youth center? And I was like, we would create a system that had basically, it would be everything from early childhood, you know, from infant care on up. And we'd have like three separate sections, you know, four separate sections, whatever, and like a common area so that there was somewhere for everybody to go. That is a long, long, long way off in the future, if ever, because that takes a lot of staffing, money, all those things, a location. But, you know, we have a lot of great resources. Kids First is great in Picken County. We have the Aspen Community Foundation, who does Cradle to Career and is really working on it. And, you know, we're lucky that the Valley has those resources. And I believe that, you know, people are trying to work on building more daycares for kids to go to, because that's one problem, the availability. Another problem is obviously the cost. It's expensive. And so I joined the board of the Zerbach Foundation, which is a new foundation started by Sarah Manda and Corey Zerbach, who own our daycare. And what they were finding was that they have families that are in immediate need and maybe don't qualify for CHIP or other government programs and need care right away. They need help right away. Or maybe they got behind and now they have a job that is, they can pay from now on, but they're really in debt. And so they need that extra help, and trying to fill that gap, the gray areas. Those families, we're still in the very early stages of that. So just applied for 501c3 status, but they, you know, they have to apply for it and qualify. It's more of a continuous cycle versus, you know, a lot of cycles are once a year or twice a year for grants, or they're only for a specific county. And if you don't live or work in that county, you can't qualify, which I totally understand. But, you know, trying to fill the gap when you don't qualify for anything that is available, mm-hmm. and you're slipping through but you need childcare because you need to work. It's a vicious cycle. Yeah. But I think there are a lot of people doing a lot of really good things to work towards that, but it is an ongoing thing. And we happen to live in a very expensive community. So a very unique, expensive community that is a little big city, but it very rural, which is, you know, until people visit this valley, it's kind of hard to understand it. Yeah. So.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Kristen Kay. Today, I'm talking with Aspen Youth Center Director Michaela Eidhammer-Ketpura and Claire Williams, a fifth grader who attends the Aspen Youth Center. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment.
So, can you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yes. I'm Claire, and I go to the Aspen Youth Center. I'm in fifth grade at Aspen Middle School.
And how long have you been going to the Aspen Youth Center?
This is my second year, and I go every day.
So can you talk about some of your favorite things to do there?
Well, I love hanging out with my friends. We're free to go wherever in the arc. Outside, we could just hang inside, we could play video games, and I also really love all the activities we do, like science, art, cooking, dodgeball, mm-hmm. and we play, I love playing kickball there.
And I want to talk more about this cooking thing, because now you're cooking for your family. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. What are you cooking for them?
Well, I love making bolognese sauce. And I also love making tacos with peppers and onions and spring onions and all the things I can find.
So talk to me about how Aspen Youth Center is the same and different, obviously, than school.
Well, in school, you have, like, a very structured system. So you have different periods of a day. You have to get to those periods, and it's always the same thing. And at the youth center, you come, you can take a break. It's always different, and you can choose to do whatever you want to do.
Have you met friends there?
Yes.
That you go to school with, or people from different schools?
Well, people from different schools. Mm-hmm. For example, there's this kid and he's homeschooled. And he comes here to make new friends because he can't make new friends at home. Mm-hmm. So it's really great for him. And his parents are staying here because of this. And he's a really good friend of mine. So, and his cousin.
What do you think you'd be doing after school if you didn't go to the Aspen Youth Center?
Watching TV.
Really? And then I'm wondering, what do you think you've learned from Aspen Youth Center? I mean, you can talk about like things like cooking, like tangible skills, but you can also talk about just what you've learned about yourself or about other kids.
I learned that it's actually really easy to make friends. Like, I used to think it's not, because everyone kind of has their own friend. But here, it's really easy, and I have loads of friends, and it's a very social environment.
Why do you think it is so easy to make friends there?
Because, you know, I think everyone there is different from school or whatever. They're not in their own group. They're out doing other things that they wouldn't do at school. And they're not with all their friends because not everybody goes there. So.
And the Aspen different. Youth Center has Family Feud Aspen coming mm-hmm. up. Can mm-hmm. you guys talk about the event?
Do you want to start first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's like the show Family Feud. And it raises a lot of money for the youth center and helps them out to get to their goal by the end of the year. And we have a jar full of Skittles that shows how much money they're making. Uh-huh. And then whoever guesses how much Skittles there are gets them all.
That's an excellent prize.
Yes. Yeah, so Family Feud is on Friday, February 2nd at the Hotel Jerome. It's the second year we've done this event. Prior to that, we did Spell What, which was a really funny adult spelling bee. And we did that for 5 years, and we wanted to switch it up. So this will be the second year of Family Feud Aspen, and we have 8 awesome teams who compete in like a bracket-style challenge. So that's how it's a little different from the TV show to the championship. And the champion wins this awesome wrestling belt, like a legit heavy, awesome wrestling belt. That's customized. And currently the reigning champions are Robin Smith and Lori Pevney and their team. And, you know, they're ready to fight for the win. So we'll see who wins this year. But it's a really fun event. There are some tickets still available, but we're really close to selling out. And it raises about 30% of our budget. So it's a big deal for us.
And what are people supporting if they attend?
So they're supporting our free programs. The money all goes directly back into making sure we can provide free programs for youth in 4th through 12th grade in the Roaring Fork Valley, and it makes sure that we can continue to function and keep it free. We've been free since 2010, and prior to that, we had a significantly lower membership, and once we became free, our membership skyrocketed by over 40% in a year. So.
And then last question, what's in the works for Aspen Youth Center this year?
Oh, that's a big question. So our next event, so in terms of events, our next event is a really cool, brand new, first time ever event with 2 other youth nonprofits in the Valley. So it's Aspen Youth Center, Stepping Stones of the Roaring Fork Valley, which is in Carbondale, and Youth Entity, which is also in Carbondale. We all serve youth in similar yet different ways. And I've always wanted to do this collaborative event, and I'm so happy that Heather from Youth Entity and Becca from Stepping Stones are involved. They're really great, and both their organizations are very lucky to have them. And we're going to be doing a 12-hour dance-a-thon where middle and high schoolers do the fundraising, and there will be prizes for the biggest fundraiser. There will be a raffle for everybody who does fundraising, so everybody has a chance to win, you know, best costume, that kind of thing. And right now we're looking for sponsors for that, and it's going to be so fun. We have DJs lined up. We're going to have dancers. I'm really excited. And it's going to be in Carbondale on April 14th. In terms of programming, we're really working on, we used to have something called Alpine Club in the late 90s and early 2000s. And I don't know why or what happened, but it kind of fell to the wayside. And it's something that we've seen a great interest in. The kids want to be outside. We're really lucky to live where we live. Why aren't we taking advantage? So last year we started implementing it. We did
several rock climbing trips. We did several whitewater rafting trips, horseback riding trips with windwalkers. And we're going to be adding, we did a ski day. We're adding snowshoeing, hopefully. This year, we were going to do it, and there wasn't enough snow to do it. So we might have to push it for maybe spring break. And then we're also looking at doing ice climbing. And then eventually in the future, we want to do, you know, camping trips, hut trips, 14ers. We used to do all of that. And we just haven't been. And we're trying to encourage that, add that component. And we also do something called Community Crusaders, which is encouraging kids to give back. You know, a lot of them don't know what nonprofit means. A lot of them think we're volunteers. Oh, you get paid for this. What do you do all day long? You know, all these questions, which I totally get. And trying to explain to them why it's important to give back and why it's important to, you know, help clean up when you're outside, or, you know, go pick up trash on a trail, or, you know, all that type of stuff. So we're working on adding those, you know, more of those types of things. And I kind of want to do a program, and this is very tentative, but called like Make a Difference Monday, where it's like Mondays, especially during the summer, we try to do trail work. We try to pick up trash. We try to go to the senior center. We try to go to the animal shelter and walk dogs. We, you know, just different things in the community to give back. And the kids like it. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a lot of kids sign up to pick up trash. That's always really fascinating to me.
I love that.
We'll pick up trash even if we don't get rewarded.
We do have a reward system. Uh-huh. So it's called AYC Bucks, and the kids can earn fake money, for doing different things, like helping us out, helping if we see them helping someone else out.
Doing homework,
reading, you know, all those kinds of things. We give AYC Bucks for it, and then we have kind of silly little prizes that they can purchase, like that thing. Uh-huh. And they can also use that to offset the cost of any field trips that do cost money. So if their parents can say, okay, so that is a $50 field trip, you have to raise $25 in AYC Bucks, and we'll pay $25 to kind of earn the right to go. So, yeah.
Claire, how about you? What are you looking forward to this year for Aspen Youth Center?
Well, I actually really want to go whitewater rafting, because I've been horseback riding, I've been rock climbing, and I've never been rafting in my whole entire life. And I really, really want to do that. And I also I just love going to the center, especially in the summer, because we do a bunch of things outside. We go on a bunch of field trips. And I do like picking up trash or going to help out. And I usually would do it voluntarily. And it's actually really fun. And I've joined service club in school.
Oh, that's cool.
So I just really want to do some more of that stuff. And I think you guys should do hut trips.
Claire's got ideas.
Yeah, she's got ideas. We are planning on doing hut trips.
Claire and Michaela, thank you guys so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
And good luck at Family
Feud. Thank you.
Hope you win the Skittles.
You've been listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Thanks to my guests today, Michaela Eidhammer-Ketpura, Executive Director of the Aspen Youth Center, and Claire Williams, a fifth grader and a seasoned veteran of the Aspen Youth Center. The Aspen Youth Center's Family Feud fundraiser takes place on February 2nd. To listen to the show again or to hear any of our previous shows, you can go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Cross Currents is a production of Aspen Public Radio. Thanks for listening.